There are experiences we accept as truth. You sense them, you feel them. There is also imagination. Those things that can only exist in the recesses of the mind. But what about the moments that flash before you? Are you absolutely sure that noise is the leaky faucet you've been needing to fix? Or is it the footsteps of a stranger approaching? Perhaps it's one or the other, but all the more likely it falls somewhere on the middle of the grayscale. Let's begin, shall we? Excuse me, ma'am. Would you like to sit? No? Just thought I'd ask. If you're hearing my voice, chances are that you're listening to it in your living room, or maybe in your car on the way to work. Maybe you're one of those lifeless faces on the train with buds in your ears. If you fit into that latter category, I want you to do something for me. Take a look at the people sharing the car with you. How many are normal? Maybe there are a few bad apples, but most of them must be normal, right? Who's to say? The honest truth is that there is no way to tell what is inside the mind of a quiet stranger unless they share it with you. Take, for instance, the man sitting next to me, James Ellison. A normal enough looking man, but Mr. Ellison has the gift to see what other people cannot and will not allow themselves to see. And now, for your listening pleasure, we will go inside Mr. Ellison's mind and determine where his sanity lies on the grayscale. Now, if you'll excuse me, this is my stop. Pardon me.
My apologies. There's something beneath this city. There was a time I couldn't see it. I was like everyone else, walking through their lives, blissfully unaware of what lies beneath. Now I'm lucky if I can get a couple hours sleep. I can hear it breathing ever so softly all hours of the night. I end up staring at the glow of the streetlights from my window. The light pulses slightly with each inhale. How much of this city does it have under its control? By the time my alarm goes off, I can't tell if I've slept or if I've just been hypnotized for hours on end by the endless rhythms of the beast. It's getting harder and harder to hold on to what little sanity I have left. But it wasn't always like this. I wasn't always aware. It started out so innocently that for days afterwards I tried in vain to convince myself I had just imagined it. I had been living in the city for a couple of weeks at this point. It was hard coming here at first, leaving behind everything I knew so well, everything I understood so well. But I was starting to find my own rhythms in the city. I had gotten a job working from home so I could take my own time in getting used to the city. I would go out for a little bit every day. Baby steps. Desensitization. After a couple weeks of this, I knew my neighborhood reasonably well, and I found that I could go down to the grocery store without a major panic attack, and even found myself getting a little comfortable with the trip to and from. On one such trip, I found myself walking back with an armful of food when I saw it. I was standing on the corner of a block waiting for the walk sign to come on, staring down at the pavement so as to avoid the eyes of the people out that day, when I noticed a rather large crack in the opposite sidewalk. Inside the crack, I could see a large, brownish, greenish, wriggling mound. Initially, I thought it must have just been filled with some trash or some combination of the various liquids you see on every street corner in this city. But as I continued to stare at the gaping rip in the sidewalk, I realized something was very wrong. Whatever was in that crack was pulsing. It was alive. It was breathing. Everything around me started to slow down as the revelation hit me. Whatever was under the pavement in front of me was aware of me. Its pulsing began to match the rhythms of my own breath. Or was I matching the rhythm of its pulse? Was it trying to get some kind of hold on me? It began to pulse faster and faster. It knew. Whatever it was, it knew I had seen it. I wasn't supposed to see it. I was breaking some kind of rule it had set up. I wanted to look away, but I couldn't. I was transfixed. I began breathing faster and faster. Everything else faded away. It was just me and it. I could feel myself getting pulled towards the crack. It was growing larger and larger. I couldn't control myself, and my feet took one shaky step after another without my control. My eyes began to swell with tears. Please don't take me. Please don't let it get me. Not now. Not here. Please. I don't want to die. Thank God for that truck. It broke whatever hold it had on me. In the second of freedom I had, I dropped all my bags and ran for the apartment. People tried to stop me, tried to communicate something to me, but I wouldn't let them get me. I wouldn't let him get me. I couldn't hear anything the people said anyway. I could just hear him pulsing in that crack. He was furious I had gotten away, and he was going to do whatever it took to get me back. In the coming days, I didn't leave my house. I stopped working as well. I couldn't focus. How could I be sure I was talking to my boss? How could I be sure of anything anymore? For whatever reason, I felt safe inside. His power must be diminished inside. At first, I could only hear him outside when I listened really hard, really late at night. But as the days passed, I began to hear him at all hours of the day. But I was always comforted by the fact that whatever he was outside. He was always outside the walls of my apartment. He couldn't get me inside. Nothing can get me in here. But I could hear him getting closer. I could hear him trying. One night, everything changed. I was lying in bed, bathing in the orange pulse of the lamp, when I heard a scratching sound. At first, I thought it was just my neighbor moving around, but I knew I was just fooling myself. I've always had a hard time hiding from the truth. The scratching got louder and louder. Then it was a kind of banging. A loud, intense banging, like an earthquake. Soon the whole room was shaking, but I just stared at that light. That light was the last thing that made sense to me. It was the only friend I had. But, of course, he wouldn't let me have that. He wanted me alone. The light cut off and the quake stopped. It was replaced by that same wriggling, pulsing, watery sound I heard on the street corner all those days ago. And what's worse, it was coming from inside. I couldn't take it. I wasn't going to let him beat me. It's not fair. Why does it always go this way in horror stories? Why is it always some hapless asshole at the whim of some horrible creature? I want to be the master of my fate. I won't let my story be like this. I jumped out of bed and pulled my lamp off the table. I ripped it from the wall and listened. It seemed to be coming from somewhere in my closet. Of course. It's always the closet. I opened the door slowly. Loud. It was so loud. I switched on the lights, and there he was. He had ripped through my floorboards just enough to get one of his slimy tentacles through. He was twitching and shaking without any kind of a pattern. He seemed to change positions faster than he should be able to. He would move from one side of the closet to another before I could even blink. He moved like a broken record, skipping and jumping all over. It was a brownish, greenish, leathery nightmare topped with a round orb swirling with colors. Terror seized me. It wasn't I. It must be. If he couldn't see me before, he could see me now. And he had a shortcut right into my bedroom.
I slammed the closet door.
I needed to get out of there.
Now!
I packed a few t-shirts into a backpack and ran outside. There was a bus station not that far from here. I knew that if I could just get out of the city, I could escape him. Something about the city must feed him. He must gorge himself on the conflicts and fears and smoke growing larger and larger. I could see it so clearly in my head. The image of the entire city resting on the maw of this unfathomable creature just below the surface. Trapped in his event horizon, spiraling deeper and deeper into his abyss. I need out. Now! Thankfully, as these images were weighing down on me, I spotted a taxi coming down the way. I quickly flagged it down. The driver pulled up and I opened the back door, but before stepping in, I was seized by a horrible revelation. Whatever was under the city was trying to get control of me. Why? Because he already had everyone else. That's why no one else saw it. Why no one else was afraid. Because he already had them. Like a veil being lifted from my eyes, everything became solid. I noticed the state of the taxicab. It was disgusting and cramped. The perfect prison cell. And the driver, he sat there, staring at me. He was dead behind the eyes, waiting to deliver me to his master. The back seat was torn up, and just beneath the upholstery, I could see something moving. I screamed. I slammed the door, and I ran. I didn't know where I was going. I just needed to move in the direction of the bus station. If I could get on the bus, everything would be okay. Everything would be okay. Everything would be okay. A police officer jumped in front of me. He must have heard of my escape. The beast had heard of my plans to get out of here, and he was angry. He was desperate. He would be pulling out all the stops. I couldn't trust anyone. I threw my backpack at the cop and tried to run the other way, but before I could, something caught my foot and I went tumbling down a concrete staircase. I felt my entire body ache, but I had no time to deal with the pain. Already people were beginning to circle me, asking if I was okay. Everything was fuzzy. It was getting harder and harder to see, but I fought my hardest to hold on to lucidity. I scrambled to my feet and jumped over a nearby turnstile. I must have fallen into the subway. This was perfect. The train could take me to the bus and out of the city. I was so close. I ran down the stairs to the E train. Luck was on my side. It was just getting ready to pull away from the platform. Behind me, a crowd of the controlled were scrambling over the turnstiles after me. I jumped onto the train just as the doors closed, leaving behind the puppet people. As I got to my feet, I could see their lifeless eyes swirling with the same colors I had seen in my closet. I was terrified, but I couldn't help but relish my victory a little bit. Had anyone ever evaded such a creature for so long? Perhaps if I could get away, I could write some kind of book about all this, let everyone know, warn them. Maybe that would loosen its grasp on this world. I could defeat him just as soon as I got back to my hometown. Back to safety, back to where I belonged. I was so stupid to come here. What did I think I could get done here? It was only a matter of time before the city swallowed me alive. I was lucky to be getting out when I did. I took an empty seat in the car and let myself relax for a second. I took a deep breath. My arm was throbbing with pain. My shirt sleeve was covered in blood. I looked up and saw that all the other people were glancing over at me, but doing their best to ignore me. They must have thought I was some kind of crazy homeless person. Even though I knew I was safe now, I couldn't shake the feeling I was forgetting something. There was this irking feeling that I was forgetting something important. But my arm was in so much pain, I couldn't place what it was. I stared out the window of the train, trying to figure out where it was when...
Stupid! I'm so stupid! Arrogant and stupid! I wasn't escaping. I was playing right into his hands. He was just funneling me down here, right into his domain. I saw our train zip by one station, then another, then another. How could I have been so goddamn blind? The train was picking up more and more speed, shaking back and forth more and more violently. I looked around at my fellow passengers. They all just sat there, staring off into the middle distance or reading their newspapers. How were they not freaking out? You can ignore an awful lot, but how could anyone ignore this? Faster, faster! The train jerked so hard to the right that one man flew out of his seat and bashed his head open on the seat opposite him. His body lay motionless on the floor of the train, bleeding all over everyone's shoes, and no one even batted an eyelash. I clutched onto my seat for dear life. I shut my eyes. Please, please just stop. Please, please, not now, not now! The screeching of the train got louder and louder, and then all at once, it was gone. I opened my eyes and saw that we were no longer speeding through the tunnels. All around the train was the same greenish-brownish skin I had seen coming up from my closet floor. We were speeding right through the middle of him. Did he even have a middle? Was that even a concept for a creature like this? We were sailing right through him, smoothly, but with an intense speed. I was breathing hard and crying and bleeding all over the place, and finally, people were starting to take notice. But not of the hell outside. Of me. A couple walked up to me and asked if I was okay. Before I could even think to respond, the window behind them shattered and they were pulled out of the train in the blink of an eye. It wasn't one smooth motion. It was just like the way the thing in my closet moved. Jerky, staticky. I screamed. More and more people started walking over towards me and were pulled out one by one. I threw up. I covered my eyes and ears. I just wanted to stop now. Please, you win. Please, just make it stop. Just make it. It stopped. I stopped moving. I opened my eyes. I was no longer on the train. I was standing on the same skin I saw outside the window. It stretched on for miles and miles in every direction. All around me, I could see the other people from the train as they sunk into the beast. They jerked this way and that, screaming. As they screamed, their voices became more and more distorted, and their eyes filled with those same colors I saw in the eyes of the policemen. And they were gone, and it was just me. I knew it was only a matter of time before I got sucked in as well, but I was going to fight until I couldn't anymore. I ran as fast as I could. It was like running on the beach. My feet just couldn't get the traction they needed. I didn't even have anywhere to go. There was no light at the end of the tunnel, just blackness and him. I felt the ground. I felt him changing. I turned around. Rising up behind me was a large pillar of skin and bones and flesh and hair and eyes. So many eyes. Each one of them that same color. And in the middle, and in the middle, and in the middle.
But these things, they're all in the past. I'm doing fine now. It's clear to me now that it was all a delusion. A scared boy's delusion. But it's in the past. I've moved on. I got some help at a nice facility. I found God. I joined a group of others like me. I've adjusted to society, to the way things are, to the way things should be. I was behaving childishly, but no longer. I decided to move to another city. My doctor said that would probably be best. But I couldn't just keep running from my fears. I needed to face them, head on. So I got a job working underground in the tunnels. This city is full of people who haven't found God, but we're working on changing that. We are spreading the good word. Soon this city will have a new foundation for it to rest upon. This city is blind, but soon they'll all see.
James Ellison, a happy man, a man with purpose, a man who knows exactly where he's going, because when he looks out the train car window, he can see his destination. No delays, no transfers, no stops.
The Grayscale is a production of CPT Broadcasting, the audio storytelling arm of Critical Point Theater, an ensemble-based performance company. You can hear more about what we do, including other podcasts, at criticalpointtheater.com. Critical Point Theater is a sponsored project of Fractured Atlas, a nonprofit arts service organization. The Grayscale is produced by Andrew Terrence Caberline as the head honcho of all CPT podcasts, Executive Director Julia Katz, and Associate Director Lanny Fu. Cracks in the Pavement was written and performed by Matthew Schott, featuring Nate Bettencourt as the voice inside your head. The episode was directed by Andrew Terrence Caberline, edited by me, Chelsea Rugg, with music by Sammy Pisano. Join us on March 1st for our next episode.
Oh, it is loud now.
Yeah, it's on.